Good morning, Prescott, and welcome to Prescott Talks. Today we are in the Prescott E-News studios, and I am joined with San Martin.
Hello.
With Prescott E-News. Off camera is Lynn LeMaster, editor-in-chief of Prescott E-News. She will be taking your questions. If you do have a question, all you have to do is type them in, and we will give them to our honored guest today, Representative Noel Campbell, LD1. Welcome, Noel.
Thank you, Glenn, for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to have you, Noel, and thank you for the last minute. You know, Noel was in session till how late last night?
Pretty late. I got into town about 10 o'clock here.
Yeah, so it's...
It was 6 or 7 when we left.
Yeah, it was really, really rainy.
Yeah. Heavy rain coming up.
Oh,
yeah.
I bet.
Yeah.
And, of course, the 17 is always a joy coming up. And that's kind of, we're going to break into that conversation about roads and what's going on in Phoenix at our Capitol. But first of all, I just want to bring the folks that maybe not know Noel up to speed. Noel is a U.S. Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. He flew helicopters during the Vietnam War. He got out of the service, and correct me if I'm wrong, Noel, I kind of got your dossier, but you went into being a federal agent?
That's correct. I worked for the U.S. Customs Service on the border and in Central and South America for off and on for 27 years.
Yeah, and then after that, you went into the fire service?
Yeah, I fought fires. I fought in Alaska. I fought fires in all the western states, flying both helicopters and fixed wing. I was trained in the military as a fixed wing pilot, but... because of the Vietnam War, they needed helicopter pilots, and so I volunteered for that and spent a year in Vietnam doing that. And then, just got interested in politics about 10, 11, 12 years ago. I don't remember quite when, but I went down to the Republican headquarters to tell them that I was thinking about running, and they immediately poured water all over me saying, what have you done for the party, you know? And that was kind of the wrong thing to say to me because I'm a good citizen. I'd always voted. I was Republican. I couldn't partake because I was in federal law enforcement. So I ran the first time against Andy Tobin, and I lost. And then I ran against Karen Fann, and I lost to her. And then the third time I ran, I guess the voters felt sorry for me, and they elected me. So here I am.
See, there's hope for everybody now.
Yeah. Yeah, hope springs eternal.
How old were you when you actually got into politics?
Oh, I was, let's see, I'm 77 now, so you figure I was 67,
approximately. See, Glenn, there is 68. Hope for me.
Yeah, there you go.
There is hope for me. I'm going to get into this.
Yeah. Well, in a way, it's a good thing because I served down there at the legislature. I'm not making a career out of it. If the voters don't choose to elect me, that's fine. I don't have a problem with any of this. And that gives me the leeway to do the things I think are right to do. I'm not constantly trying to think about getting reelected. Right. And I support term limits at the state level. We have those, and I support them at the federal level. I wish we could get them in the Congress, you know, give them 8 or 12 years and then send them home.
Yeah, I'm with you.
12 years? I'm like, is only 2 years good?
Yeah, you can't learn enough in 4 years. It's just taken me 4 years to figure really how the process works, how to get things done. And I'm able to now work on big issues because I'm senior enough that I've been the transportation chairman of the House, which means that anything that deals with roads or bridges or infrastructure, or railroads, airports in the state all come through my committee. And it's a powerful position because you can hold up bills, you can do what you want to do, and you're given a lot of authority. And I hope I use it wisely. And that's one of the reasons that I'm trying to get the people of this state to understand the tremendous needs we have in transportation in this state. Everyone knows about the I-17. We're in Prescott. We go to Phoenix. We drive that. It's dangerous. We have accidents. They slow the highway up for hours. We are now in a position that we are going to tackle the I-17 starting in 2020, and the project should be completed in 2023. And we're adding lanes to each side and a gated effect so that when you're going up the mountain from Phoenix on Friday, you'll have four lanes going up, and when you're coming down on Sunday, there'll be four lanes coming down. It's just that 8 or 9 mile stretch there between Black Canyon City and Sunset Point. And it's a big project, and we didn't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
But now we have the money because we freed up the HERF from being raided by the Highway Patrol, and that $120 million they were taking every year is going to go into that project so we can start it sooner. But that's only one small part of the problem that we have in the state. Mm-hmm. I travel all over the state, and I talk to county supervisors, metropolitan transportation policy planners. I talk to League of Cities and Towns. I mean, you name it, I'm talking to them, and we're all talking about the same thing, which is this state is sadly underfunded in its transportation needs. Let me give you an example. We have electric vehicles that use our highways that pay nothing because they buy no gas. And the way we get our revenue is through gas tax or diesel tax. We have hybrids that use only a portion of their mileage as they purchase at the pump, but the rest they're on electric. So they're not really paying their fair share for our roads. And what's happened since 1991 was the last time the gas tax was ever raised. It was set at 18 cents a gallon. And at that time, gas was $1.75 a gallon. So the 18 cents per gallon in 1991 represented about 17% of the total fuel price at that time was for tax. Mm-hmm. Today it's 18 cents a gallon still, but our fuel's $2.75 a gallon. So now that represents only 6% of the fuel purchase goes for tax, and that's all due to inflation. Right. We're not keeping up with any new income at all. And in fact, we're losing because the vehicles are more fuel efficient. And they're using our roads. We have more vehicles that are more fuel efficient. Believe it or not, our gas tax revenue is just flatlined. So we've got to do something, or this state is going to basically bottom out here in another year, 2 years. And we're already seeing the problems. We don't have the money to widen the I-10 right. from Casa Grande into the Phoenix area. If the federal government were to institute a transportation program, we have no matching funds. We couldn't partake on all that federal money that could come into our state for our interstates. We wouldn't be able to take advantage of. So there's a lot of issues, and we have to face reality. I tell people, I'm a Republican, I'm conservative, I hold conservative values, but as a Republican, we need to look realistically. If we're going to demand things of our government, such as transportation, we need to step up and fund it. Mm-hmm. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I tell people that there's only three essential things the government needs to do. One is public safety, public schools, and transportation. And the first thing that our Continental Congress did after the founding of our country was to fund the postal roads, because they then knew how important roads were for our economic system, our system of moving goods and services. And so we've kind of forgotten about it here in Arizona, and it's going to catch up to us in a hurry if we don't do something about it. And that's why I have introduced a plan to raise fuel taxes and include taxes on fuels that are not being taxed now. For example, natural gas is coming online with our trucking fleet. That fuel is not taxed. Propane is used, and that fuel is not taxed. Electric cars are not taxed, and hybrids are not taxed. They do pay a portion of their road usage, but they're not fully paying their fair share. So what I'm proposing is a bill that is fair across the board, with no carve-outs for anybody, and everybody who uses our roads will pay their fair share. And I've been happy to get into detail of that if you'd like.
Yeah, I will. One of the couple things, and we've talked about this before, so everybody understands. I thought it was very good to see that you were going to put a fee on electric cars, so that when they get their license, that's how they'll pay for the road use, which is fair and equitable.
Right.
One of the questions I had about the natural gas was, you were talking at one time so many BTUs versus gasoline, and how that breaks down.
Sure.
And one of the questions I wanted to ask you at that time, but I couldn't because we were again on time limits, was if you're using the road, what do the BTUs have anything to do with that?
It's a fairness issue, because natural gas only has 65% of the heat content of a gallon of gasoline. We use a gasoline gallon equivalent as our standard, and we measure all fuels to that standard. A gallon of gasoline has 114,000 BTUs per gallon. A BTU is a British thermal unit. It's a measurement of heat and combustibility. So if you're going to tax a fuel that does not equate to a gallon of gasoline, then you have to be fair and say that the natural gas won't be taxed at the same tax rate that gasoline is taxed, because you're not getting the same bang for the buck out of a gallon of natural gas.
So you're using more propane than if you were using less or using gasoline.
That's right. To go the same number of distance of.
I gotcha.
And so that breaks down that natural gas has 65% of the BTU content of gasoline. Propane has a higher BTU content. They're 80% of a gallon of gasoline. So we would tax natural gas at a lower rate than we would tax gasoline, and propane would pay a slightly lower rate because they're closer to the equivalent in gasoline BTUs. Right. So we have a formula to do that, and that's fair. And the trucking industry is behind us on this. The trucks in this state use our roads. They know how much money it costs them when there's a delay or a bridge goes out. So we get support from the trucking industry. But we would not get support if we taxed their fuel of natural gas, which they're going to, at the same rate as gasoline, because it's not the same.
Yeah.
So we have a formula, but they're going to be taxed, and that brings in a whole new formula for raising revenue in this state. And if I'm successful, and it's very doubtful, but I'm working hard on it, it would bring $1 billion a year into the state highway fund, and that's what we need. That's the minimum we need to just keep up with the roads and bridges, et cetera. Right now, we only have enough money to maintain 47% of our state roads.
Right.
So,
and what would you say to the people who, and I read the comments on newspapers and articles, that say, well, there's other revenue sources within the state. Of course, they never name those revenue sources, but they're saying mismanaged money or what have you.
Of course,
you hear that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, you know, briefly, if you could.
Well, I've been, you know, when I have failed to see really any mismanagement or fraud in the Arizona Department of Transportation. They're actually a pretty lean operation, you know, and the Highway Patrol is part of the transportation system. And so they need to be funded. And so we have to take money out of our transportation fund to fund the Highway Patrol. But we have eliminated that now because they're no longer taking money out of the highway fund. It'll go right to our roads and bridges, et cetera. And yeah, it's painful. Anytime you talk about this stuff, you have to be honest. Yeah. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. I'll tell people right off the bat, it is a tax. But it's a necessary tax, and if you don't believe that, then you don't believe it. But
I'm with you, and you know, again, how important is it to keep our road system for commerce and trucking?
Right.
And
sure.
I was glad to hear, and that's first that the trucking industry is actually behind you.
Oh, absolutely.
Crazy deal. We have one of the readers asking a question right now, basically talking about first off with the hybrids, and it says, "Why not add registration fee for the hybrid vehicles?"
Well, that's how we're going to do it. We're not going to go into electric or hybrid cars and count miles. We're not doing that. Right. That's ridiculous. What we're going to do is make an assumption that a hybrid and an electric car travels 12,000 miles a year. Some will go more, some will go less, but that's the assumption. We also assume that the hybrid and the electric are going to get 26 miles per gallon on average. Mm-hmm. That's the national average. If you divide 12,000 by 26 miles per gallon, you're going to get 461. That's the gallons of fuel an electric vehicle would have purchased.
Right.
So then we go to the tax at 18 cents a gallon, and we come up with the fee, the tax would go up 5 cents per each year, and we would come up with a fee for the first year for an electric vehicle. And so that will be collected at registration. And then the second year, the fee will go up a little bit more, and on and on. Now, this has been changing because initially I proposed that we phase this in 3 years. But people down there seem to think that a 5-year phase-in would be better.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to raise the fuel taxes 5 cents a year for 5 years or 25 cents. And people say, 25 cents? But think about it. What can you buy for 25 cents? You can't buy a stick of gum or a mint. It's so. I remember when our coinage was silver. A quarter really meant something, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just so little.
Yeah.
The gas prices in Phoenix vary 40 cents a gallon, and people don't seem to worry about that. So having a 5 cent raise the first year, a 5 cent for the next 4 years will equal 25 cents. And then maybe tying it to an adjusted annual inflation rate so we don't have to come back and visit this again. Mm-hmm. Because inflation's going to be with us as long as we're here, mm-hmm. and we have to deal with that.
Now, and there's another question on here that brought up a good point. Sure. We have a lot of snowbirds, a lot of people that not register here in the state of Arizona.
Yeah, but they buy fuel here.
Yeah.
They buy fuel. That's the reason I went with the gas tax and not a sales tax in Arizona, because the sales tax is really regressive. You know, people that don't have the money, it's harder on them. But with fuel, you're purchasing for what you use. And I estimate that 15% of all fuel purchases in this state are from out-of-staters coming across Arizona, mm-hmm. from Texas on the I-40, the I-10. You know, we get tremendous people and come here and visit this state, and they're paying for fuel. Very hard to make them register their vehicles. I don't support that. I know there are people that abuse that system. They come down here, they don't register their cars. We're working on that, but we're not the police that are going to go out and track people down and you know, pound their cars. What we want to do is make people pay their fair share for using our roads. And we would hope that anybody that's going to be in the state for 6 months or more would register their vehicles. But a lot of people don't. In Canada, they come down, you know. So we're going to make them pay for their share of the road, and that's a good thing.
And one more question. Sure. The idea of all these cars as far as hybrids, obviously, mm-hmm. we want to go to a clean resource system in life.
Right.
What are the chances of actually taxing or even even putting a fee to the car dealerships that are providing these cars for our roads?
Well, the thing is, we don't want to do that. We want people to buy hybrids. We want people to buy electric cars. By the way, we have had a great incentive program in place for probably since 10 or 12 years where electrics were they only pay 1% of the sales price for their VLT. Right. So they're using the roads not buying any gas, plus they're not even paying a fair registration fee. And we're going to end that. We're bringing electric and hybrids up to parity with gasoline and diesel vehicles. So everybody's going to pay their 60% of the assessed value of that vehicle. That's not the way it is right now, and that's not fair. It was implemented to help that industry, but that industry doesn't need any help anymore. Yeah. It's on its own. I'm dealing with Tesla. We have some great electric cars coming online, but for the next 20 years, 80% of all of our vehicles will be gasoline, combustion engines, and diesel engines. And we need revenue right away, and that's why I went to the fuels tax. Uh-huh. In 20 years, this will need to be looked at when we go more electric. Because maybe then at that time we'll have to revisit how many miles the electrics are driving and, you know, et cetera. But right now, to save the system and keep it from collapsing, we need a massive infusion. The first year at 5 cents, it'll bring us about $170 million. The second year, it'll bring us $360 million, and we're up to third and fourth year, we're up around $700, $800 million. The fifth year will be of $1 billion, and that's what this state needs. We need $1 billion a year for the next 20 years just to maintain our federal highway system. Yeah. We don't have it. So
that's pretty intense. I mean, you know, putting up the gas hike in general is like 5, 10, 15, mm-hmm, all the way to 25%. You know, I was thinking the same thing, and I looked down here, and there's another question where it says, you know, at 25 cents, you know, with the cost of living, that 25 cents comes out of the average person that's actually driving on these roads, which, you know, can turn into a pretty big, significant, you know, cut in their budget.
I hear that. The average person, modest or low income, it depends on how much they drive. I mean, nobody can argue with the fact that if you're driving, you should pay your fair share to use the roads. I mean, and we're not, because we haven't raised the tax since 1991. A dollar in tax revenue in 1991 is worth 47 cents today, just due to inflation. So every year we fall farther and farther behind just due to inflation, and that cannot continue. Mm-hmm. And, the biggest thing is the highways are unsafe. You drive the I-17, you take your life in your hands. I came up here down here on Highway 69, and I hit a pothole. I mean, the rain is, you know, I mean, that causes $300 damage to your car.
There was definitely potholes this morning.
Yeah, you go down 89 towards Ashford. Yeah. I mean, you literally like lane changes when you don't want to.
So
yeah.
People complain about why the roads are bad. Yeah. Well, be honest with yourself and understand that we're not paying as we should for the maintenance because of inflation. Everybody understands inflation.
Well, I think you've hit the important part, Noel, and that's one of safety number one.
Right.
I mean, what's the cost? What's it worth when, you know, you have big trucks going down the road and hitting these same potholes that we do? That's safety number one. Number two is the movement of commerce. As we continue to grow and our economy continues to thrive here in Arizona. And God, there was a third one and I forgot about it. It's one of those six over 60 brain farts.
Well,
I think more considering what you just got done saying that we don't even have enough. If the government came in gave us a grant to help fix our roads, we don't have the money to match it. Right. So that's, you know,
mind-boggling.
Yeah, I mean that's
and
like,
and then everybody gets money, mad because the roads suck. Why do the roads suck? Well, because there's no taxes to go ahead.
I think people just need to be assured that the money that they're paying in their gas and diesel tax and then natural gas and propane, that it's going to be well spent. And I think that you know, ADOT, you know, we see them out there working on the roads all the time. I mean, it costs $77 million to do a mile of free rate construction today. The prices are astronomical, and just due to inflation. And you know, right now we're in an inflationary period. Everybody's full employment. Prices are going up. Yeah, I understand that. But I'm the transportation chairman, and I'm not about to sit in this office and do nothing about the issue that I'm working on.
Exactly. You know, there's a couple of things that you would think about, and one of them is like, you know, ADOT workers are out there and they're working. I wanted to crack a joke. I was like, well, one of them are.
Yeah.
The other five
the
are standing around.
The other guys are doing this.
Yeah, can we do something about that, Noel?
I hear that.
All right, so we have one coming out. As gas prices are already at 30 to 50 cents higher than New Mexico, could we negotiate a different supplier to help offset the tax increase?
Yeah, okay. The reason we have that is that the pipeline comes in from El Paso, Texas, and that goes up to New Mexico, that pipeline. And that, for some reason, the pricing mechanism and difference, it has nothing to do with the government, has nothing to do with that price. We get our fuel from California. It's higher priced. It's the transportation cost. But if you're down in Phoenix the other day, gas is $2.25, you know, and you can shop around for that. It's not quite what it is in New Mexico. I think gas there is about $2.18 a gallon. Yeah, there's a difference, but that has nothing to do with the government. That's your oil businesses and your transportation pipeline dealing with that. And, of course, to the outlying communities like Prescott, you have to ship it up by truck. It's more expensive up here because of the transportation costs.
Wow. So that would be the same question that I was going to give you is, you know, down in Phoenix and different states, we see a lower price on fuel. But when we get to Prescott, you know, I think we're usually 10, 15 cents higher than most places in the bigger cities.
Right.
And you got to pay for the clean air up here.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not putting in a plug for any gas stations, but the gas station right across from Costco, and Costco does have the lowest fuel prices.
AMPM, baby.
It's the same price as Costco. Yeah. So if you want to save money, that's the place to go and shop around a little bit. Drive a little slower. Drive 55. I mean, your fuel economy exponentially increases when you slow down. You want to lead foot it.
How's that song go? I can't drive 55. Am I aging myself?
That's funny. Okay, so great question. Why is it higher in Prescott and not in Payson, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, I think that, you know, the oil companies have a strategy of marketing. And you know, Prescott's kind of a retirement town, and people have more money up here. That's my opinion. I don't know this for a fact, but I think they look at the market and say, well, they can afford a few more pennies. I know down in South Phoenix, the fuel's the lowest of any place because the people don't have that that economic income to you know, spread it around. So they market to the market, and that's what they do. And That's why Prescott's always been higher. Yeah. If you go to Flagstaff, it's higher than Prescott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so crazy. I mean, to be honest, it'd be kind of like, you know, I mean, I know a lot of retired people, and when they want to go ahead and go out to eat, they go to the senior discount time.
Sure.
So basically, I'm thinking the same thing, that they will do it on everything so they can go ahead and make their money work for their retirement, exactly. So they don't have to go back to work. I mean, countless amount of times you walk into a Walmart, and a lot of retiree folks are coming out of retirement in order for them to go ahead and pay for their medication.
That's due to inflation. That's due to inflation. Listen, I mean, I grew up as a boy when the coins were silver, and they President Johnson took that out, and you can see that our currency is inflated, and you know, a quarter is just copper. I mean, it's a waffle of copper and something, but not silver.
I always laugh about how our currency is. I was like, oh, here's a piece of paper. Can I have some food? Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in the day, and we talk about currency and not get off subject, but you know, you get a gold coin right now, 1 ounce, and back in the 1900s, that 1 ounce coin would buy you a suit, whatever you want. Now it's worth like $1,200 or whatever.
$1,330
But it still
today.
Only buys you
he
a suit.
Into it.
So it was a $20 piece back in the 20s.
Right. Yeah.
It's $1,200 piece now, but it still buys you the same suit.
Right.
So it kind of gives you the idea of the inflation.
Yeah, inflation is kind of crazy. I mean, but you know, coming from a standpoint of being able to like actually work from paycheck to paycheck, it's kind of like one of those things. It's like, you know what, you know, as far as inflation, like, you know, inflate this money that's coming out. Our pockets, I guess. So, I mean, is there a way that...
But I just want to say this. Look, this economy is hyperinflated right now. It's full bore. You can't find your plumber or electrician. You know, you can't find help to do anything because the economy's roaring ahead. But it's going to slow down and it's going to turn down. Mm-hmm. And when it does, if we have this gas tax, diesel tax, the other fuels tax, that's going to, and especially affects the rural counties. Because Maricopa County and Pima County have the population that they can raise their taxes. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did. They did that. That's why we have a freeway system in the Phoenix area, because Maricopa County tax their citizens. Mm-hmm. We don't have the population base up here in rural counties to pose a tax. So the highway formula is that the rural counties get 50% of the highway user fund. Mm-hmm. And the more money we put into the highway user fund means more money coming back into our rural counties. Mm-hmm. And with that, that means more employment. That means when this economy downturns, this will keep the state moving on construction. There'll be jobs out in the rural counties. And believe me, the rural counties really support what I'm trying to do because they understand this. And it's an unintended consequences of taxing yourself for a cause that's needed to be accomplished, which is it's going to have employment after effects long after the economy slows down.
You know, one of the questions I also read was the sweeping effect, if you will. So we go ahead and we get your bill through and we raise the taxes. Right. And the one thing I've learned about government in my short experience is they like to move money around everywhere.
Right.
What is to prevent the governor or this governor or any other governor come along and say, you know what, we're going to take that gas fund, we're going to put it into X.
They did that because there was an avenue to get into the highway user fund through the highway patrol.
Right.
The highway patrol by statute was allowed to take $10 million out of the highway user fund. Yeah, but they would take more. And that figure has been there for years, and that was inflated. So we weren't even keeping up with the inflation factor to fund the highway patrol. And you know we need the highway patrol.
Right.
So... The Constitution is pretty clear, and court cases are pretty clear that money can only go from the highway user fund for road transportation projects. There was this wiggle room with the highway patrol, and that's how they got into the user fund, which said, hey, notwithstanding the $10 million we're allowed, we're going to take $120 million.
Right.
That's been eliminated now. So I can say 98% sure that they can't go in and start sweeping funds for other purposes. It has to be, the courts have held, it has to be for transportation-related projects. And the highway patrol is no longer part of that equation. And so that's how we see the money freed up for the I-17.
Yep.
That $120 million that would have gone to the highway patrol is now going to help complete that project.
There's so many, like, you know, good ideas and so many, like, right. crazy ideas, and how to see it evolve from, you know, when back in the days when you were actually paving the way for post people, postmen, and, you know, just right. coming up to today's, like, is there yep. any new technology that is coming yeah. into play to go ahead and help our infrastructure as far as all our highways and roads?
Well, not in the next 20 years that I see. We're going to be wedded to the combustion engine. By 2030, major auto companies will all be going electric. Mm-hmm. The gasoline engine will be a thing of the past. They'll go to either a hydrogen engine, more battery technology. And that is great technology. So we're going to have to figure it out. I think that fossil fuels will be a thing of the past in 50 years because of the technology. I mean, yeah. right now we can harness electricity from the sun. The problem so far is the battery technology. But now you're seeing in automobiles, especially Tesla, the vehicle can go 300 miles on batteries. Yeah. Yeah. And then you plug it in overnight. And, you know, and it's so much more efficient to generate power from electricity than it is from a gasoline engine. And at nighttime, there's low demand on the electrical grid, so it's not a problem. There's no foreseeable problems with that. So
that's a great question. Yeah. Okay, so obviously the Teslas do show up at a spot where they have to go ahead and charge that right. that deal.
Yeah.
Is there like a
government's not going to be part of that. That'll be Tesla, and private enterprises will set these charging stations up. And when you go to charge, if you're downtown and you need to charge, you're going to put your credit card in just like you do with a parking meter, and they're going to charge you
yeah.
whatever that rate is to charge your car. And that's a good thing. We don't want the state figuring this out. No. I mean,
is that taxed? Government.
Pardon?
Is that taxed? I mean, if that person is gaining any kind of like payment for that charging station?
No, we'll still, at the present time, we'll still have a fee that we charge on the registration. They're using the road.
Okay.
They're paying their own fee. Just as if they were buying gasoline, there would be a surcharge or a tax. But most of that purchase goes for the fuel itself. Well, when they charge an electric station, they're paying for electric fuel. And then the state will collect a fee for the road usage. And that's how I see that happening right
but,
now.
But I mean, but they're still going to be, I mean, the people that are actually putting up those charging station right. fees, are they're still going to have to pay their dues. I mean, is that what happens? Or is that not yet in place?
The private enterprises that will put these, there's one right here in a hotel here in Prescott.
Yeah, yeah,
right there, the Marriott. Spring Hill Suites.
Yeah,
Spring Hill. They do that as a courtesy, but that's all factored in the room rates and right. stuff like that. No, private industry will put the charging stations in, or businesses, or however. The state won't be part of that. There'll be no funding for charging stations from the state. So the taxpayer is not going to be paying for these charging stations. Private industry will put them in. People who use them will pay that fee to the station, or to the owner of that station, and go on their merry way, just like they do at a gas station. And we will collect the fee for the use of the highways through registration. Unless there's a better system that's developed down the road, and there may be. It's very possible that you could collect the tax right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the technology's there, but that's yeah, yeah. not how we're proceeding
hour,
right now.
Per hour, like per gallon?
That's there, but the technology's not there now.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be at least 10 or 10 years or 12 years, 15 years before this all stuff all comes online.
Let's fix our roads first.
Hope so. If we don't get on it, man, we're going to be dropping yeah, into big exactly. holes. Big
so
puddles.
I was watching this new technology that was coming out of India, I think it was, or sure. a foreign country. And obviously, we right. have a big, huge deposits of plastics, and we're sure. trying to recycle.
Sure.
And I know a lot goes to China, a lot stays in right. here. But they were utilizing the recyclables to sure. go ahead and make roads.
Right.
And
road was, technology.
Yeah, it was a sure. different road technology. Have well, you heard anything
we
about
used,
that?
For example, well, no, but we used... rubber products like used tires are all mm-hmm. ground up and they're put into asphalt. That's why you have quiet highways.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, so we
it's
we
a top the, cap.
Yep,
yeah,
yep.
And yeah. ADOT has is in conjunction with other states and other countries about the best road technology. The Germans were always the best because they built the first super highways, the autobahns. Mm-hmm. So German technology and you see German technology in Mexico. Their infrastructure system is it's a toll system. You pay for it, mm-hmm. but their toll roads are unbelievable. They have super highways that we don't have in this country because you pay every time you, and it's expensive. For example, from here to Guadalajara, Mexico, in a highway, the last time I went was $200 in tolls to drive the car.
Wow. Yeah. And I heard over the grapevine about the idea of actually putting toll roads on our highways.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot, but there doesn't seem to be the citizens. First of all, a toll road would have to be a new highway. We can't, state law will not permit an existing highway to become a toll road. That's in statute right now. So, for example, highway, I think it's 93 that runs up from Wickenburg to Kingman. That's a nice separated, that looks like a super highway. When the I-11 comes through, that's a big issue right now, thinking that out. It's how can we incorporate Highway 93 as part of the toll road of Interstate 11? Interstate 11 is just in the talk phase. There's no real planning going on with it. But, yeah, that has to be looked at. Everything needs to be looked at. I mean, but I have no problem with toll roads. There, one time there was a recommendation that we make a whole new I-17 alternate, which would be a brand new construction, be a toll road. And so those people that want to get to up the mountain faster will pay for that. Yeah. But that didn't transpire. We're going to widen the I-17 with a gated effect. So all users will use it.
I think, with the big, huge push of, you know, people that are coming from other cities, other states and stuff like that, you would think that there would be kind of like a, hey, you guys have to put a deposit in before you want to come to, you know, Arizona in general. I mean, I'm just throwing some jokes out there.
No, we don't want to do that.
For all those guys coming out, but you know.
We want to bring them in and welcome them and then hit them at the gas pump.
They sell their house, though. They sell it for, tons and tons of money. We'll get the same house here for a quarter of the price.
That's the beauty. When the economy would downturn, the Canadians came in here by the thousands and were buying up property in Mesa, Chandler. They kept the economy afloat because they had the cash to help the real estate market.
I see a good push of that. You know, people are like, I need to get out of this place. And they come here and they're like, we want to adopt a small city, small town lifestyle. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, we should change this.
Yeah, yeah. We need to do this. We need to do that.
Unfortunately, the Great Revolt. Arizona's getting to be a populous state. They're going to have 1 million more people in 5 years or less living in the boundaries of the interstates down in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's amazing that it's the fastest growing county in the United States, Maricopa County. People come here because of job opportunities, there's good educational systems in the state. The weather, oh my God, you know, I mean, if you're living back east right now, you'd do anything to get out of that.
Knee deep in snow.
And, that's one of the benefits of being in the capital. I'm down in Phoenix in the wintertime, and then I come back up here, it's cold, you know.
But you know what, a lot of it, and I'm retired, and a lot of the incentives to come up here, not only the small town atmosphere, was a tax structure. I mean, literally, I couldn't live in California and keep on paying the taxes that they were going to do, and I am from California. And I don't want to change Prescott. I love this town, and I think...
You fit in really well.
But let me give you the perfect example of the problems we have here. It's Highway 69. When you come into Prescott Valley, that thing bottlenecks, and there's 27 stoplights.
Yep.
And if everybody derives that, hates it, why can't it be fixed? Why can't it be widened? There's no money. Mm-hmm. You want to know why it can't be widened? It's not on the five-year plan. Why is it not on the five-year plan? We don't have the money to put it on the five-year plan. So that's where it really comes down to the locals. If we could get Highway 69 widened to three lanes all the way from Prescott Valley to Prescott, it would really open up. Sure. We'd stop the bottlenecks. I've talked to ADOT about the light system and the timing of the lights. Mm-hmm. They say that it's almost impossible because of Glassford Hills. There's so much traffic that turns off of 69 into Prescott Valley off of Glassford Hills. It just screws up everything. Now, that's what they tell me. I drive this thing twice a week.
Yeah.
And, man, I'm telling you, it's hard. But I wish we could get...
Anybody that drives that highway, I guarantee you.
If we get this tax structure implemented, I am going to go down to Mr. Halachowski and I'm going to demand that he fix Highway 69, put it right on the project.
First deal. Yeah.
Oh man.
So what's the chances of that going through? No, where are we at?
Okay. Well, I got the bill out of my committee and now it's going to Ways and Means next Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it's kind of a dead horse. I don't really know. There's an amendment that would strip out the gasoline and diesel tax, but leave in the propane and natural gas and the electric and the hybrids, because those aren't new taxes. Those are people that are not paying a tax or not paying their fair share, and fuels that are not being taxed and vehicles that are not paying their fair share. That would get it through Ways and Means. And so I don't know. It's all up in the air. But I tell you what, I have the most professional group of men I've ever worked with. And these guys are in industry and in government. Contractors Association, Rock Products, Trucking Association, their best people are helping me. Mm-hmm. I can't do this alone. This is very technical. Oh, yeah. It's a heavy lift. We do so many pissy ant little petty things down there in the legislature. They don't mean anything. You know, the technical change, this and that. This is a big, tough issue. And of course it's tough. You're asking people to pay more in revenue, more in taxes for the use of the roads. And nobody likes it.
Yeah.
But you have to recognize it has to be done. And when you have that kind of an issue, it brings out the best people to support you. Now, whether we can get it through the legislature, it's all duck and cover there.
Yeah.
When you say tax, they want to get under the table.
Yeah, I think wrong wording. I would be like, hey, let's fix our highways.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's why I'm in a different position because I'm not concerned about getting reelected. I never have been. And if the voters are so upset with me, throw me out. recall me. I don't care. Yeah. I'm not going to stop the thing I'm on here, which is to maybe I'm John Paul Revere Campbell. I'm riding down to tell people in every Middlesex village and town of the danger we're facing in this state. I have a lot of people. The need is understood statewide. No one says, oh, Mr. Campbell, you're just exaggerating this. Yeah. No one says that to me. Nobody. They all know the need. It is the political willpower to make the decision to burden yourself for a necessary project. That's the issue. Do we have the political willpower? We can push it off for another year, 5 years. Hell, I don't know. Maybe there's no willpower to ever do it because the governor, all he talks about is never raising taxes. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Well, I mean, there's a great opportunity. Once again, wording is everything. So ultimately, your thoughts and your mindset is going to the new era of vehicles on the road where they aren't paying taxes. And who's going to pay those taxes and how are we going
to
get that money?
If you're going to ask somebody to pay a tax, they don't want to know, hey, I'm paying the tax and this guy over here is getting a free ride. Yeah. That is not going to happen with my bill. If somebody tried to introduce a carve out, I would not take it. And there have been introductions. Mainly from the electric car business. Mm-hmm. They don't like the idea that a parity of pushing these guys up equal with gasoline vehicles. And they've had this sweetheart deal for years now, and they want to keep it. But the truth of it is that Tesla, even with keeping a sweetheart deal, they can't make any more cars than they can make. Mm-hmm. The demand is so great, they can't keep up with production. They can't make more than 37,000 to 38,000 cars a year at Tesla.
Yeah.
They don't have the ability to do that. So
keeping the world working in general is the number one goal in general. Mm-hmm. But obviously these roads are very important to our infrastructure in general. I mean this is our world that we live in.
If we don't have the roads, we lose everything.
Yeah, I think we really need to start a new campaign. Yeah. Noel, it's going to be Save Our Highways.
Yeah, there you go.
Save our highways. If we do not save our highways now, who's going to save them later?
If we don't, we're crumbling Arizona. We are crumbling the ability of this state to provide safe transportation avenues.
Yeah.
And that's what we call this. Yeah. The state is crumbling, and you just have to drive around it and look at it, and you understand that. So
yeah, the bridges. I did a little research back in the days when they were trying to do that mine out in Kirkland, because she's trying to mine that stuff that's coming out of there that is supposed to help with the concrete and the stability of the concrete and the infrastructure that is actually in all of our bridges, because the stuff that they were using was failing. Like, it actually is cracking, is breaking off, it's brittle. And so do you know anything about that whole deal with the concrete, with the product that's coming out of that?
Yeah, Kirkland? I mean, I'm very familiar with the product. And the issue was, it wasn't that people didn't understand the product was good. It was the amount of roads usage will be on our state highways. The ADOT came out with their studies saying that the number of vehicles was not excessive. And they pay, trucks pay more in diesel tax and more in registration fees. They have a legal right to use the roads. So there was not an impediment for these trucks. The neighbors up there hate it. They don't want these trucks driving up and down with this silica in the beds. So then it becomes an issue that the transporting companies have to be very careful. I would prefer they do it by rail, because there's a rail that goes right up to Drake, and that's where they would use it in the cement plant up there. But it looks like it's going to go with trucks. And so now we just have to ensure state sheriffs and make sure that these trucks are complying with all safety regulations and environmental regulations, and keep a tight lid on it, because you don't want one of these trucks going down and it's flapping and stuff's coming out of the back of the truck.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No. Yeah, so, actually, it was kind of crazy. I kind of like do a little bit of influencing online. And then when they started talking about this, I posted it. Mm-hmm. And the owner of the mine wanted to have breakfast with me.
Sure.
And I'm like, oh, you want to have breakfast? Let's talk about this. But the way that she wanted to go ahead and put it together, she wanted to bring all the smart people in,
right,
that will be able to go ahead and talk about the water usage. Sure. You know, if they're going to be start taking from the underground wells for that, right, or bin, sure, drill there, and also the stuff that's coming off the trucks in the roads, it's, right, going to be covered. Is it this, right, and that? So she actually did have, you know, the right steps to take to, right, make and ensure that we are not hurting our environment.
Yeah, of course. And that's the Department of Environmental Quality with the state of Arizona. Also, the federal, see, that's a state highway, so it's a state issue. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that there's going to be and with the residents there, believe me, if they see any problems, they're going to be calling in. And
oh, no.
They already got their signs outside. You know,
I have one guy. He owns a bunch of ranch lands out there, and he's the one that actually brought the meeting together. Right. And so he was like, you know, we as a community would like to go ahead and do this. And she goes, if I actually get this off the ground, Kirkland is then going to be the next small city growing bigger because of the jobs that will be able, right, to be created. So he was like, man, if you do this, Martin, and help us out, you could help me build Kirkland.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can I be mayor?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Kirkland Martin.
So I had a couple of ideas in my head. I was like, you know what? Go. I always wanted to go and start like a city and then just watch it grow, just for the growth portion of it.
Weren't you the guy telling me you didn't care for politics?
I don't. Yeah. I don't. And that's one of my. That's why I was kind of happy with
that's
what
just
he
our
said.
Influence that we have on you already. Yeah.
No,
second show and he already wants to be mayor.
You should see the stuff I watch.
Man. I want to quickly switch real quick to another issue that I support, and that's Save the Dells. I support that. I think it's a once in a lifetime to preserve that area. I'd love to see it as a regional park. Mm-hmm. I hope the city of Prescott can negotiate and strongly negotiate with the developer to set aside that for posterity. You know, we only get one chance. I don't know if any of you have ever visited Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. It's a city park. It's so beautiful. The city was so smart to do that. And you know, we don't want the Dells chopped up. No. And I understand the city's position. You know, they're talking about a hotel in there, revenue, bed tax, all that. But, you know, I would encourage people that listen to this to call their city council and learn about the issue. Go to savethedells.org and learn about that. Because once we lose that, if we lose it, we're never going to be able to get it back. And we'll all be sadder for it and lesser for it. Mm-hmm. So that's why I've lent my voice to it. I mean, I certainly want the developer to, you know, by law, he's required to give 25% of the development to the city for open space.
If he's annexed.
If he's annexed and incorporated. Well, he wants to do that because then he can sell the properties with 100-year assured availability of water. I mean, and plus he can make the lot size a lot smaller.
He can build a lot more.
So that's just it. I want people to be aware of that hear this. Just go to the website and look and think for yourself. What do you want to see for the Dells? You drive through it. You know how beautiful it is. I drive through it all the time. I go to the airport. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, Mayor Margarelli did state that in one of his meetings with the Chamber of Commerce. And his line was, let's save the Dells. So I don't know what that all consists of.
Right.
But what's your take on that?
Well, I think that the city is probably not thinking along a regional park like I'm thinking, and then saving the best part of the Dells for the park. I think that they're going to set some side property aside, but you know, there'll be a road the cutting across the Peavine, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, you know, I understand private property rights. I understand all that, and the developer is going to make a ton of money. There's no doubt about that, and he should. But you know, we need to save that for our city. It's a great drawing area to be able to ride your bike on the Peavine Trail, and I mean, you're just out there in nature. It's so beautiful. I want to see it preserved, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a conservative, and that's what conservatives do.
Yeah.
We conserve the best part of our environment and of our state. So
I mean, so what is the cost of you know, saving the Dells. Do you know that?
Well, it has to do with the city and the planning, and I think it's really with the city council. I think they side more with the developer than they do with Save the Dells. Although the Save the Dells dropped off, I think, I'm going to say 5,000 petitions. Now the city council's got to go on record of whether they want to vote on it. We need to know where they stand.
Right.
The problem with Prescott is that the city council members are not responsible for any geographic area. Right. So if you got a pothole or a broken curb, who do you go to? Oh, you go, no, it's not me. Point the finger at somebody else. Nobody has any responsibility for anything. Mm-hmm. And that's not good. That's what I don't like about our form of city government. If my city council person represented my geographical distance district, I'd be able to go say, look, my roads here are terrible. My curbs, fix them.
Yeah.
But who do you go to? So this is a real issue. And I think that the people of Prescott, the average person's not aware of this, mm-hmm. you know. And so it's a matter of educating and talking about it and just trying to do the right thing, which I believe to be the right thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm born and raised in Prescott, and so to see the growth and to see the people come in here, I'm okay with it. But at the same time, there is a couple of things that are actually happening here, and one of it is a major influx of people coming to live here. Yeah. And so obviously there is a need and a want for this area, which is totally cool because you know earlier you stated that you know what bring people in because we actually they save us on a certain occasions, mm-hmm. but you know there is stuff that should be preserved. But at the same time, you know when person owns a piece of property, you know, what do you do with that? And if you could go ahead and make a profit off of it, why not? So well, that's kind of
obviously, but remember to get an X to the city and to get the benefits of the city incorporation of that area, the developer has to give up 25% of the development.
Right.
And now it's a question, what 25% does he want to give up? He obviously would probably rather give up land that you can't build on. It's not scenic. Sure. You know, just get it out there. The really scenic, beautiful stuff is worth money. And so that's where the big home, dollar homes can go in, sure. But what's the greater good? That's how I look at it. And I hope the city council factors all of that in. But I know there's going to be a tremendous backlash to the city council if they don't do the right thing, as they should. They should face that.
Yeah. Do you think Mayor Megarelli put that out there because he's going for his second term?
I don't know where the mayor falls on this. He says, you know, he understands the issue. He hasn't taken a firm position on it. You're either for the regional park or you're not. there's no in between there. I mean, so take a stand and defend it.
Yeah.
But to sit and waffle on it and talk about it and, you know, push it off, no.
Yeah, there is a you know great concern. I watch everything, but once again, I am not political, and
yeah,
so
right.
I stay on the sides where you know I could go ahead and watch on the, right. that position. But I mean, I feel a concern. You know, when people are moving into town, growing this development, water is what is the issue on water? Right. I mean, can we tap on that right now?
Well, you know, it's a critical issue here in Prescott and Prescott Valley, and. And we don't get Central Arizona Project water. We don't get the water that comes into Phoenix or Tucson. We have to rely on underground water sources. So that's a finite use of water, and we have to be very careful about it. And we're in an active management area that requires us by 2025 to put as much water back into the system as we take out. We're nowhere near that. We're not going to reach that. So we're drawing water from the aquifer. And we're not replenishing it as we need to do. And so there's a lot of ways to get at that. And I support, I'm a member of CWAG. I go to the city. I talk to Prescott Valley, John Munderloh. I mean, I talk to all these people. We have to be very, very efficient with what we do. And when you do a development in the city, you're basically saying to the buyers of those homes, you have a guaranteed 100-year supply of water. Mm-hmm. Now, if that development was not accepted by the city, and they were to put homes in out there, they could not give that assurance. And I don't know who would buy a home without that. The wells out in Williamson Valley, the water table's dropping.
Mm-hmm.
They're dropping. Yeah. And yes, people...
Paulden.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, if you're going to build a home, you want to know you have water. It's very expensive to haul it in, and it's very expensive if you have to go 300 feet and greater to hit water. Yes. So
somebody just proposed to go ahead and put an additional 350 homes here somewhere on the outskirts of town,
right.
And that was one of the things that he was, you know, he's a big developer here for, I don't know exactly what his name was, but do you know his name? Oh, you don't? Well, anyway,
I watched it.
Yeah. Anyways, he was proposing that we would do something to that effect. But, you know, once again, you know, these are all big concerns. And, you know, a lot of people I see on Facebook, you know, because everybody, you know, congregates there in general. They go to the group pages and they ask those questions before they move into town.
Right.
What is going on here? How's it going? And then you get the jokesters like, we're full. Stay here. Stay home. You know, we're full. Stay home.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, though, because Prescott Talks is going to have those people come in and we're going to talk about it. You know, I was out of town last week, so I've been, thank you, Noel, for coming in. Number one, I mean, last minute was last night. I'm in session till 10 o'clock tonight, but he came in this morning to go with us. I want to get the South Dells people in. I want to get all the store, all the people, all the corners in and talk about what they're proposing. And I'm glad you brought that up because they're on my list, on my desk to contact and bring in and talk.
Yeah.
One of the things I'll be very honest with you. I've kind of gone head to head with a couple of the people to Save the Dells on some of their tactics, but I believe in saving the Dells. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, once it's gone and we can't replace it. And we certainly want to preserve it. Interesting point was I never knew how the county would take that. In other words, what does the county have to say? I hear all Save the Dells people. I hear the city, but talking to Jack Smith last night or 2 days ago, the county says, yeah, go ahead and take it. You know, pretty much they back out of it and let they want to annex it. They want to annex it.
Right.
But I'd like to wrap it up at this point.
Sure.
I want to thank you again so much for coming in, Noel.
Thanks for letting me sit in on this political thing.
I'll tell you where Noel, you know, I met Noel. He sponsored and passed HB 2107, which was a sober home. And that's how I got to know Noel. And I got to know Noel very personally. And this is a great American right here, buddy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate it. I hope you don't get too many unhappy in saying, get that tax grazer out of here. You know, it's got to.
Well, I mean, hey, listen, I think your vision is somewhat down the road, which is a big one.
He is the guy that will take on the problems in our state. And he's not afraid to confront him.
Yep.
And he's got issues that, you know, that people want to slide off to the side. And he'll stand there and he'll say what he believes, even though it might not be popular or popular or however it be.
Mm.
You know, I get pretty emotional with the HB 2107.
Right.
That was really a big deal for me personally.
Yeah, right. Yep.
I couldn't believe
he stood up for that. Yeah. And he stood up for the citizens of Prescott and the people that are in these sober homes. So, again, you know, so much service that he's done for our country, for our area, and for the community.
I'm happy to do it, but I'm kind of running out of steam, you know, at 77. I mean, but you know what? I wish we could get more people involved. And you and I have talked about this, Glenn. We need more citizens. We need people to run for city council. I mean, we've had people sit on that city council for years, you know, ossify in there. I mean, it's just time for change. It's time to get new thought process. And I hope the citizens of Prescott really come around and want to preserve this town and keep the best things that we have here, which make it a great place to live. And with that, I thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.
Sam, it was nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you. Thanks for letting me hang out with you.
The political guy. Right?
Yeah. Well, the best part about this is I got my
city
political
council
fix.
Right here.
Yeah, I got my political fix in. So until next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Prescott. Councilman. Prescott Tonian. I'll be the outside influencer.
There you go.
So if I find something that I feel good.
If you have a voice on a program and you talk to people, if you have that voice, you lend it. And, you know, you got to not be afraid of criticism, which
I'm not afraid of it. I'm afraid for the other person that's giving me the criticism.
We didn't have any other questions right at this point.
Okay.
No, I've been monitoring. It looks like we had a good group of people coming in, so
good.
I think we're going to get the word out. And once again, I think the vision is looking down the road.
Sure.
And that's no pun intended.
To be honest, it's a real problem. We got to address it sooner rather than later. And if it happens, it doesn't happen this year or next year, you know, what's going to happen is the bridge is going to fail and some school bus is going to go off of it and fatalities. And then all of a sudden, everybody will get religion on this issue. And that's what it takes. Government reacts to crisis.
Yep.
And they don't really react to long-term thoughtful planning. because why deal with it? It's not a problem now, you know.
So let's change the tagline to say, let's save our highways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just change it. Just change the idea of it and let's make it work.
Make our state safer to travel.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it'll all be.
Thank you. We'll see you next Friday.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, guys.